This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. Martha had a sister named Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So last Sunday, I had an experience where the kingdom of God came near. Last Sunday afternoon, about 600 to 700 people from more than 80 different organizations from the greater New Orleans area came together to share a vision of hope for our city and its people at this Together New Orleans assembly. Now, never in my life have I been in such a diverse gathering. There were many folks that you all would be familiar with, and many folks you would not be. There were Christians from all sorts of different denominations. Sonny, Dennis, Russell, and I represented Grace. Bishop Mike was there and led the opening prayer. Pastors Sandra, Candy, Laura, and Anders represented the Gulf Coast Synod. Pastor Denise and members of Bethlehem were present. Pastors Alex and Pastor Pauline were there representing their congregations. There were Muslim siblings there. There were Jewish siblings there, including Rabbi Sherman, who has come to Grace to teach us about the Jewish faith. There were six different trade unions present, including IBEW, which my grandfather belonged to. And there were neighborhood associations, there were environmental groups, there were universities, and more. More than 80 different organizations, very different from one another, in identity and in purpose, gathered together. 600 to 700 people of different faiths, different traditions, different socioeconomic statuses, different educations, different political parties, different races, different ethnicities, all gathered together in the absolute belief that together there is hope and there is promise for the people who call this place home. Together, we ratified a plan that addresses cost of living, local jobs, public works, and a neighborhood power plan for when the electricity inevitably goes out. And while ambitious, none of these plans are pipe dreams. They are all actionable, things that we can actually accomplish together, things that will make a real difference in people's lives. My siblings, as Bishop Mike put it, the delegated assembly of Together New Orleans was outstanding. It was one of the finest pieces of community organizing I've ever seen. 700 people, unanimous votes. But even more than a fine piece of organizing, this was truly an experience of the kingdom of God come near. with so much hope in both word and deed, with actions taken to bring abundant life, God was present. Christ abided with us, and the Spirit inspired us. I don't know if I have ever experienced God's kingdom quite like that before. And it so easily might not have happened. There was a recurring joke told at this Together New Orleans assembly about living in New Orleans. Although I'm not so sure if it's so much a joke as something that is so painfully true that we have to laugh at it in order to survive. This recurring joke was that the cost of living might be what's killing us, but it's the potholes that steal our hope. It's the potholes that steal our hope. Raise your hand if you have ever had your hope stolen by a pothole or a sinkhole, three of which I drive by on my less than a mile route to get to church. My siblings, living somewhere with these oppressive worries of the ever-increasing cost of living and insurance, the fears about public safety and natural disasters, and the daily frustrations of navigating potholes. These oppressive worries, fears, and frustrations, they can become so burdensome that they overwhelm us to such an extent that we cannot see beyond them. Too often, these worries, fears, and frustrations steal our hope. And when our hope is stolen, we do not believe that anything better is possible. And the idea of God's kingdom on earth becomes nothing more than a pipe dream. And we see that happen in our scripture lessons today. Martha has become so consumed with worry and frustration that she cannot see that the kingdom of God has come near. At this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus has illustrated his power over life and death. He has resurrected someone from death at this point, folks. He has illustrated his power over creation, calming the storm on the sea, and over the demonic, expelling numerous demons from people. He's fed the 5,000. He's even been transfigured on the top of the mountain. It is clear to Jesus' friends and students that he's not just a wise rabbi, he is divine. And Jesus himself has told them multiple times, the kingdom of God has come near. And yet, Martha is so overwhelmed with her worries about providing hospitality and her frustration that her sister Mary has left her to do all of the work that she cannot see what is right in front of her. She cannot see that the kingdom of God has come near. She is so consumed with worry and frustration that she does not recognize the gift that Jesus is giving her, the opportunity to sit at his feet and learn with her sister. Now, Jesus does not rebuke Martha because of the work that she is doing. In fact, Jesus does not rebuke Martha at all. Jesus, full of compassion, guides Martha to see what is right in front of her, the kingdom of God. Abraham and Sarah are similarly overwhelmed by their worries, fears, and frustrations. God has promised them descendants that number in the stars. And yet, Sarah remains childless. Not only that, but Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 and long past menopause. To Abraham and Sarah, the fact that they are barren is a truth so painful that they have to laugh at it in order to survive. Both Abraham and Sarah laugh at God when God tells them they will have a child. They cannot see God's abundant life. They're consumed with their frustration of a promise that never seems to come true and becomes more impossible by the day. They're afraid about what this lack of fulfillment means for them and what it says about God. They are worried about their future. All these frustrations, fears, and worries come together to steal their hope. And they laugh at God. They cannot see that the kingdom of God has come near. Now, rather than rebuking Abraham and Sarah for their lack of faith, God, full of compassion, fulfills God's promise. They bear a son, Isaac. And God replaces the painful laughter of lost hope with the laughter of joy at new life. The kingdom of God is near to Martha, to Abraham, to Sarah. But they almost miss it because their fears, worries, and frustrations become so overwhelming that their hope is stolen and they are blinded to the presence of God's abundant life. A better world, a better life seems impossible. My siblings, I wonder how often we miss what is right in front of us because our worries, fears, and frustrations become so overwhelming that they consume us. And they steal our hope away. And the very idea of God's kingdom on earth becomes nothing more than a pipe dream. We pray every single week, "Thy kingdom come." But do we really believe that this better world is possible? Or do we let worry, fear, and frustration steal our hope? When hope is stolen in our scripture lessons, God intervenes, and the kingdom of God comes near. Jesus and Mary reveal the presence of the kingdom to Martha, so that no longer blinded by her frustrations and worries, she is able to see what is right in front of her, Jesus the Christ and the kingdom of God. The three divine visitors and God's very self reveal the presence of the kingdom to Abraham and Sarah, so that no longer blinded by their worries and fears and frustrations, they see what is right in front of them, the presence of God, abundant life, the kingdom come near. The 600 plus people gathered at Together New Orleans Assembly in the hope and the absolute belief that a better world is possible revealed the presence of the kingdom of God to me. And it filled me with hope. So, who reveals the kingdom of God to you? What people, groups, and experiences restore your stolen hope? Who restores hope in you and makes it clear that the kingdom of God has indeed come near, that God is present, that Christ abides with us, that the Holy Spirit inspires us? My siblings, whoever those people and those groups and those experiences are, those are what God is calling you to. They are the better part that God wants you to choose. For when you choose them, your hope will not be taken away from you, and the kingdom of God comes near. Amen.